here. That's good right there, if you would, please. All the children on the front row, I want you to move to the back row because I'm going to be down there preaching tonight or today. All right, so I want you to move right here, the second pew right here or somewhere in there. All right, that'll be good. John chapter number 10 this morning. I want you to look at one verse. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 9. John chapter number 10 and verse number 9. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus said this. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the door. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray, Lord, that you'd illuminate our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see today from your word the importance of the great I am and the importance of what Jesus said about being the door, the importance about being saved. I pray, Lord, now that you would just work in our lives. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would enter in while there is opportunity. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, there's something about a door. I remember when I was just a young person living at home. We lived out in the country north of Faustoria, about 5 miles, and we didn't get to the grocery store. It seems like everybody goes to the grocery store almost every day today. But back then, we'd go to the grocery store about once every 2 weeks, and Mom would load up the car. And I remember all the grocery bags, and she'd be carrying in all the sacks, and my duty was to carry in the boxes and all the bags. But I remember one of the things that Mom and Dad did not get at the grocery store was ice cream. How many of you young people like ice cream? Man, I love ice cream. But we had a guy that would stop by our house. He was the Schwann's man. And my dad would go ahead and he would buy these 2.5 gallon tins full of ice cream. And I remember as a young boy, we would, at nighttime, the Schwann's man would come and he would pull in the driveway and I'd see, look out the window. Listen, out in the country, nobody ever really came to visit. So when someone pulled in the driveway, it was a big event. It really was. And when I pulled in and I saw the headlights and I saw the running lights on the top of the truck, instantly I knew the Schwann's man is here. And that meant one thing. Dad was going to buy ice cream. Dad loved ice cream. I didn't know until after. Dad would buy usually 2.5 gallon tins. That's 5 gallons of ice cream about every 2 weeks. And our custom was in the evening after supper, we would go ahead and usually have a big bowl of ice cream. Dad loved butter pecan ice cream. That was his favorite. I didn't realize until about 2 years after he passed away, my dad was lactose intolerant. It made him sick every time he ate it, but he just loved it anyway. He just went ahead and ate ice cream. But you know, when the Schwann's man came to the house, immediately I ran to the door to open up to let that man inside. I was excited about the Schwann's man coming to our door because I knew what was going to happen after he entered in through the door. I want you to notice this morning what the Bible has to say concerning the door. And I want to preach you a message that says, where Jesus said, I am the door. We need to understand as we look at this passage of Scripture. We need to understand that John chapter 10 is directly connected to John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, there was a man that was born blind, been blind ever since he was born. And Jesus healed him. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in verse number 5. You know, there's a lot of times when Jesus used that phrase, "I am." And we find actually in this passage of Scripture in John 9 and John chapter number 10, 5 times the word "I am" is used. You say, "Well, how is that a big deal?" It really is. Because the term "I am" is an Old Testament name for God, according to Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 14. When Moses went before the burning bush and God spoke to him out of the burning bush and God said, "I want you to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And Moses said, "Who is it that I should say has sent me?" And God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and he said, "I am that I am. Say that I am hath sent you." One of the names for God is I am. It's where we get the idea of Jehovah from. He is the self-existent one. He always has been. Always will be. Throughout the scripture we find that Jesus said, "I am." He said in John chapter 9, he says, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 10, he says, "I am the door." In John chapter 10, verse number 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." In John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter number 8 and John chapter 9, he said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter number 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die." And then he asked Mary and Martha, "Believest thou this?" By the way, do you believe that? We find that he was the way, the truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14, 6. In John 15, 1, he says, "I am the true vine." Throughout the book of John, John is written, as we learned on Wednesday night, as we were studying our Wednesday night Bible study, John was written to verify the fact that Jesus is God. That's why John was written. John chapter number 20, verse number 31, "And these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life on his name." That's why John was written. John chapter number 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door." You say, what real significance is that? There's a lot of significance to it. Today I want you to focus not on "I am the good shepherd," although Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, amen? He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But I want you to focus on that phrase, "I am the door." I want you to notice 3 things about that statement, "I am the door." Look, if you would, please, in your Bible, and I want you to look at John chapter number 10. You got your Bible this morning? Maybe you ought to do a sword drill since all the kids are in here, amen? No, we won't do that. But in John chapter 10, I want you to look at what it says in verse number 1. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Look what it says in verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily." Now those 2 words simply means truly, truly. Jesus is saying, listen, saying, this is the truth. And you can count on it. He said here in verse number 7, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling is not of, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I want you to notice three things about where Jesus said, I am the door. Number one, I want you to notice this door is straight and narrow. When I went down to Lowe's to get this door, I thought, I want to get a narrow door. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13 and 14, I'm sure that those that were there trying to listen to what Jesus had to say, remember what he said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew chapter number 7, and he says in verse number 13, he said that the way is narrow, and he says the gate is straight. Look there if you would please in Matthew, so I don't misquote it. Matthew chapter number 7, look what it says in verse number 13 and 14. You got your Bible, young people? Follow along, all right? Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The Bible says that the way that leads to eternal life is a narrow door. It is a narrow gateway. I want you to notice several things about this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, first of all, he said he was the door, verse number 9. This door is straight and this door is narrow. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. I want you to notice, Jesus did not say that he was a doorway, but he said that he was a door. There's a big difference between a doorway and a door. A doorway is a passageway, but a door swings on the hinges. Amen. A door opens and a door closes. You remember when Noah got into the ark? How many doors was in the ark? Anybody can tell me? Just one door that was in the ark. And after Noah and all the family entered into the ark, and after all the animals got on, and after all the provisions got on, the Bible says, and God shut him in. The door was closed. You know what that meant? The door of the ark was closed. Noah and the family and the animals weren't getting out. And that meant everybody on the outside wasn't getting in. A door opens and a door closes. A door protects. A door secures. My wife is, she likes locking doors. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I go outside and the doors are all locked. I can't get back in. And she likes locking doors because locked doors make you feel safe. But all I read recently, there was a notice put out that some people escaped from jail and that they thought that they were in Ottawa County, and they said, make sure you lock your doors. You know why? Because these guys were armed and dangerous. Doors, they open and they close. Doors provide safety. Doors provide protection. Doors keep us in. Doors keep others out. We lock the screen doors and we lock the doors to keep little children from going outside when they're not supposed to. There is a purpose for a door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. He didn't say, I am the doorway. He says, I am the door. I want you to notice something else. Jesus didn't say that he was a door. Jesus said he was the door. The word the, that article, means this. I remember when we were in Bible college, people had to write a 3-page term paper on the word the. You think that's hard? But you know, the word the means only, absolute, none other. Well, you can write a lot about that. Only, absolute, none other. Jesus said, I am the door. There is no other door to heaven but Jesus Christ. There is no other door to God the Father but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get to God. Listen, there might have been some good things that Buddha might have said. There might have been some good things that other philosophers might have said. But listen, Jesus Christ is the door. Muhammad is not the door. Allah is not the door. Buddha is not the door. Shinto is not the door. Listen, the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church and every church that's out there, they are not the door to heaven. Jesus Christ alone, he is the door. Amen. He is the only way that anybody can get to heaven. Now there's some people who say, well, you know, you think that Baptists are the only one going to heaven. I don't know how many times I got to straighten people out on this. Saved people are going to heaven. Amen. Now listen, once you get to heaven, I think you're going to be glad you're a Baptist. Amen. That's what I think. But you know what? Listen, saved people are going to heaven. Saved people are going to heaven. That's it. You know why they're saved? Because Jesus Christ is the door. They have entered into the door of salvation. So I want you to notice, he is not a door. You know, I hear people say, well, you know what? Jesus Christ, he was a good man. And yes, he gets us to God, but so does so many other people. That's a lie. If that's the case, then Jesus lied. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. You say, what's that mean? I'll get to that in a moment. So you need to understand that, number one, Jesus Christ himself is the door. The door is straight and narrow. He didn't say that he was a doorway, but he was the door. It opens and it closes. He was not a door, but he was the door. And then I want you to notice, number two, what does the Bible say that are outside the door? There are things that are outside of the door. Outside. When we enter into the door, the Bible says we'll be saved. But what's on the outside of the door? Begin looking at this passage of Scripture, and the Bible describes things that are on the outside of the door. And I want you to notice what the Bible has to say concerning outside of the door. And let me elaborate a little bit. Look what it says in verse number 1. In verse number 1, in John chapter number 10, and I changed my Bible, so I got to, not change the Bible, but change the page, so I got to turn back there. In John chapter number 10, look at verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, some other way, the same is what? A thief and a robber. Look what it says in verse number 8. In verse number 8 it says, all that ever came before me are what? Thieves and robbers. May I suggest to you, outside of the door, outside of the doorway of salvation, outside of the doorway of Jesus Christ, are thieves and robbers. They are thieves and robbers. You know, I hate it when people steal something from you. You know, you've worked hard and you've how many of you ever had something stolen from you? Had something stolen from you? I hate that. You know, you worked hard and you've earned money to go ahead and pay for something, and then somebody else comes along and steals it. But may I suggest to you, if somebody comes in and breaks into your home and they steal jewelry, that can be replaced. And if somebody comes along and they steal your car, you know, that can be replaced. And someone comes along and they steal food out of your cupboard, or they steal something, some material possession, that can be replaced. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus Christ was talking about those false teachers and those false prophets who rob away and steal eternal life away from those who would hear. The most despicable the lowest individual today that has ever lived is someone who has robbed boys and girls and moms and dads of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby they could get saved. The worst robber and the worst thief are those who hinder children. Jesus said it's better that a millstone was tied around their neck and they'd be drowned in the depths of the sea than they would hinder one of these little ones. The worst thief in the world is someone that'll rob eternal life, rob salvation from someone else. I get aggravated and I get perturbed with people who teach false doctrine. False doctrine. I'm not talking about little things that really don't make any difference. I'm talking about the doctrine of salvation, where people, they say, well, you know what? There's a lot of different ways to heaven. No, not according to the Bible. People say, well, you know, Jesus really didn't have to die on the cross. That's a lie. And all of the doctrines that deal with the doctrine of salvation, and people want to distort that, and people want to go ahead and twist that stuff around to where people don't even know how to be saved. You know, that just bothers me, and that aggravates me. Matter of fact, that makes me mad, because they are robbing eternal life from all those individuals who would hear the word of God and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today in the modern church, they don't even talk about Jesus Christ. They don't talk about what he did for them on the cross of Calvary. They don't talk about the blood that was shed upon the cross and how that we are redeemed and how that we are saved by putting our faith and trust in the shed blood of Christ. They don't say that Jesus Christ is the door. They just say, you know what? Let's just join a church and let's all get along and we'll all be happy. May I remind you, Jesus is the door. There is no other. May I remind you that outside of the door are thieves and robbers, false teachers. I want you to notice something else outside of the door. Not only are there thieves and robbers and those that would take eternal life from those that would hear, but I want you to notice also, the Bible says, the thief is out there. Look at verse number 10. That's in direct reference to the devil. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. The Bible says here in John 10, in verse number 10, the thief, talking about the devil, he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse 31, the Bible says that Satan has come to sift us as wheat. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 5, he comes to deceive us. He portrays himself as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be judged according to their works. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Those are the ones that are outside of the door. Thieves and robbers and the devil, trying to get people not to enter in through the door. We find that the devil, the Bible says, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, he comes to take us captive at his own will. Outside of the door. Not only are there thieves and robbers and the devil, but the Bible says there are wolves. I remember when I was just a young boy, we went camping. We lived out in the country. And I tell you, we lived out in the country, North Story, about 5 miles. And we were out in the middle of literally out in the middle of the sticks. I mean, there was, the road was so narrow. It was a one-path road. I remember my aunt come to visit us. She said, you guys live on a cow path. It's just this little strip of blacktop going through the field. And when you wanted to pass somebody, both of you had to get off halfway in the ditch in order to pass one another. It was pretty treacherous. It really was. But you know, I remember as a boy, there wasn't really a whole lot to do. We played baseball and we rode our bikes. And a lot of times my brother and I, we'd go out in the woods and we'd go camping. And I remember I was probably about 7 years old. 8 years old, and my brother and all his older friends, they got tired of me, and so about 2 o'clock in the morning, they kicked me out of camp, and they said, walk home. Now, this is the honest truth. There were a pack of wild dogs that were in the area killing sheep. This is the truth. And I remember we were about 3/4 mile behind the house. And I looked and I got through the wooded area. Thank the Lord there was some moon out where you could actually see some things. No lights, no flashlight, no lantern. Kick me out. Go home, Rick. I don't know why. I still don't know why to this day. They just kicked me out. And so there I am. I look ahead and I look. I see the porch light way off in the distance. Mom left it on for me. Maybe she conspired with my brother. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I heard the dogs and the wolves. Now, I kid you not. And they were around me. And I was running through a plowed field. How many of you ever run through a plowed field? How many of you know what a dead furrow is? That's that. The dead furrow is that real deep part of the plowed field. If you step in it, you about break your neck. All right? It's the part where you first start plowing, and all of a sudden, the next time you plow, you put your tractor tire in there, and you keep on plowing. Anyway, I was running across there, and all of a sudden, I hit a dead furrow. Boom! Down I'd go. And I'd run a little bit farther. Boom! Down I'd go. Because you couldn't see. It was a plowed field. And all I could see and hear was those dogs around me. I heard them barking. I heard them chasing. And I tell you what, I never ran so fast all my life. You say it was a figment of your imagination. I tell you what, I had a great imagination then, I'm telling you. Because those dogs, that wild pack of dogs was around me. And the only thing I thought was, they think I'm a sheep. And they're going to eat me. It might sound funny now, Adam, but I tell you what, when you're a 7 or 8 year old boy, it wasn't funny then. I'm telling you, I was scared to death. You know what is outside of the door? The Bible says wolves are outside of the door. The Bible mentions wolves many times in the scripture. Well, let me give you some of them. The Apostle Paul warned the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter number 20 and verse 29 and 30. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." The Apostle Paul told the church of Ephesus, number one, there are going to be wolves that are going to creep in among you. You ever wonder who's in church with you? Your pastor does everything he can to stay focused on who's coming in these doors and who's not. In the past 30 years, there's been people that have come in through these doors, and immediately, you could tell by talking to them, wolves. Not saved, only coming through to see who they can eat up and destroy. And there's been some I've had to confront head on. Because if they have been left to themselves, they would have destroyed this church and every Christian in it. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says outside of the door, there are wolves. They enter in among you, verse 29. They don't spare the flock, verse number 29. Verse 30, they speak perverse things. Verse number 30, they try to draw away disciples after themselves. Jesus warned us. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." May I suggest to you today, if you are outside of the door, run and get on the other side. Amen? Jesus is the door. Don't stay out here where there's wolves. Don't stay out here where there's false teachers and false prophets and thieves and robbers and trying to rob you from every bit of spirituality. Listen, get inside of the door. Jesus said, "I am the door." When you enter into the door, by the way, who's the door, everybody? Jesus Christ. When you enter in the door, there's a lot of blessings that take place. Now, I know that you over here, you're going to have a hard time to see, so you guys have to trust me on this. But on the inside of the door, there are some things that you're going to find. Look at verse number 9, John 10:9. Jesus said, "I am the door." If any man enter in by me, the same shall be what?
Saved.
When you enter into the door, you're going to have salvation. What does that mean? It means that you're going to be delivered from the point of danger. You're not going to have to worry about the wolf anymore. Amen? You're not going to have to worry about the thieves and the robbers. Listen, when God gives you eternal life, no one's going to be able to take it from you. Amen? And God's not an Indian giver. There is salvation. I want you to notice something else in that passage of Scripture. I want you to notice, first of all, you're going to get salvation to all who enter. Look what it says in verse number 9 of John chapter number 10. I am the door by me. If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. What does that mean? Well, the people back then understood what it meant. You see, the shepherd of the sheep would gather up all the sheep, and many shepherds would put their sheep together during the daytime and then they would graze. Then each shepherd would call out his flock's name and he'd start calling to them. And the sheep, one group of sheep would go follow this shepherd, another group of sheep would follow this shepherd because they knew their shepherd's voice. And then they would lead them to this area where it was all grown up with thorns and briars. It was called a hedge. He would lead them inside of this hedged-in area. It was such an area, it was impermeable by wolves or really anything. It was made out of thorns, and it would be like a fence all the way around the sheep, except for one opening. And the shepherd, after he would get the sheep inside of there, he would circle around and he would go and he would sit there in this narrow opening. And Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep. Once the sheep are inside, the only way someone can get to the sheep, they have to get through the shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You can't get to my sheep unless you go through me, Jesus said. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. There is no way the devil, the wolves, the thieves, the robbers, anyone can get to the sheep when Jesus is standing in the doorway. Amen? That means I'm pretty safe. That means I've got peace. I've got contentment. I've got safety. Salvation to all who enter. And I've got freedom. The shepherd leads the sheep out to find pasture. He brings them back in to go ahead and be safe inside of the fold. As long as the shepherd is leading me, I am safe. As long as I'm following his voice, he's going to lead me beside the still waters. He's going to lead me beside of the green pastures, amen? And he's going to keep me safe all the while. That means I have freedom. I had a crazy Springer Spaniel dog. He was nuts. I don't know how else to say it. I named him properly. I named him Jerry, all right? Yes, I had Jerry Springer living at my house for a while. But as soon as the door opened, man, he was gone. And he would terrorize every rabbit, every bird within a quarter of a mile of our house until he was about ready to collapse. I was afraid he was going to get run over by a car or something. He'd run across the road, never look, nose to the ground, and he'd be going like this, smelling, and I'd holler at him. He'd ignore me. He was on the trail of a rabbit. So I said, I'm going to build a fence. Brother Bill and a few other guys came over to my house when I lived out on Byer Road, and we put up this big fence. And we put it up all the way around the outside of the yard, and we put wire mesh inside of it. And we finally got the last piece of wire fence on there. And I said, Brother Bill, watch this. And I opened the door. And out Jerry ran. Man, he ran, and all of a sudden he come to the fence. And he made about 4 or 5 laps all the way around in the inside of the yard. He couldn't find an opening. His whole demeanor changed after that. There was nothing that came into the fence that didn't belong to him. If a rabbit came into the fence, I'm telling you what, it was a very short-lived experience because he was right on their tail until those rabbits got out somehow. As long as Jerry was inside the fence, he had freedom. He could run and he could chase birds and he could chase rabbits and do all that stuff. But you know what? He was safe. And as long as we are in Christ, we've got freedom. But we're safe. We're safe. Listen, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. In there is freedom. Verse number 9, it says, shall go in and out and have pasture. I can have satisfaction following Christ, realizing that I am safe and I am secure. I can have satisfaction. Look at verse number 27. Verse number 27 of chapter number 10. Jesus said, as the good shepherd now, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, one of the marks of a child of God is they hear the voice of God and they follow what God has to say. Amen. In verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That tells me this. Inside of the door is understanding. Once we enter inside of the door and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we're going to go ahead and understand if someone else's voice calls to me that's not the Lord's, and I'm not going to follow that voice. Another voice they will not hear, the Bible says. So God gives us understanding to discern right from wrong, good from evil, right doctrine from wrong doctrine. He gives us understanding. Look at verse number 27. It says, and they follow me. That means he gives us direction. As a child of God, I've got direction in my life. I can follow the Lord and he directs me how he wants me to go. By the way, God will never direct you contradictory to the Word of God. The Word of God and God's direction always go hand in hand. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Amen? Amen? He gives us direction. And then look at the last thing. Look at verse 28. And I give unto them what type of life, everybody? Eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life. How long is eternity for, Brother Joe? It's forever. He's going to give us eternal life. That is forever. Forever. One day you're going to be somewhere forever. Amen. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That word at the bottom, I don't know if you can see it in the back, it means security. Never perish. When I enter into the door, I'm going to have eternal life, and I'm going to never perish. I was talking to a lady at the hospital yesterday, and she goes to a church that has dropped its name. And it used to be a denominational church. Now it's just called a different type of a church. And she says, so you go to a Baptist church? I says, yes. And I says, really? I says, your church believes kind of like what we believe, except they believe, you guys believe that you can lose your salvation. By the way, if you can lose your salvation, how bad do you got to be to lose it? How good do you got to be to keep it? Who determines where you draw the line on that? Amen? Is Brother Mark? Do you get to draw the line? What about me? Do I get to draw the line? Well, you know what? I don't think they lived up to it, so I'm going to go ahead and they're not saved anymore. I don't get the right to do that, and neither do you. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, according to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4, I think it is. Security. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen, as a child of God, when I entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, and I entered into the door, I received salvation. I've got freedom and satisfaction and understanding and direction and eternal life, and I've got eternal security, whether you like it or not. Yes, I believe in once saved, always saved, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've got security. I am never going to perish. If I die and go to hell as a child of God, God will be a liar. Because God has promised to give me eternal life. Jesus said, I am the door. Outside the door are thieves and robbers. Outside the door are wolves. Outside the door are hirelings. But listen, once you enter inside the door, you've got eternal life. You'll never perish. Remember the Schwanz man? I couldn't wait for the Schwanz man to come. And I would run to the door because I knew what was there waiting for me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, run to the door. Run to the door and enter in. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, Jesus is there speaking and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door today. And he wants you to enter in through the door, which is Christ. If anybody tries to go another way, Jesus said, the same as a thief and a robber. You try to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, you're robbing God of his glory. You are robbing Jesus Christ of his work. And you will never make it. Jesus Christ is the door. The only one. Right now, he is knocking on hearts' doors. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he's knocking on your heart's door, and he wants you to be saved. You know what I'd encourage you to do? Run to the cross. Run to the door and say, let me in. There is salvation, there is peace, there is comfort, there is joy. But outside of the door, you're going to find wolves, you're going to find heartache. What have you done with the door? Have you entered in? Has there been a point in time in your life when you entered into the door? If not, you ought to do it this morning. If you have, you ought to thank God every day for the door. Amen. You ought to thank every day for Jesus Christ. Remember when I said that one of the names for God is I Am? God is the door. It's not about you. It's all about God. God is the door. Today, run to the door. Today, trust Christ as your Savior and only trust Him. He's the only one. He's the only one. He's the only access to our Father, to heaven. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the pianist and the organist comes to play through a verse of invitation this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you could do so. You could call on Him and ask Him to be your Savior. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to come and trust Christ. He is the door. Trust Him as your Savior. Today, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe there's a loved one that God has placed upon your heart that needs to be saved. I'd encourage you to come and pray for him. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to realize that you're the only way. That all of our good works is unto thee but filthy rags. And Lord, that we cannot do anything of our own to go ahead and try to see ourselves saved other than trusting Christ. The old song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent in our prayers towards those who are lost, those who have been deceived, and Lord, those who have trusted in what the wolves are saying and what the thieves and the robbers are saying. But Lord, help us to trust in thee and thee alone. I pray, Lord, now that you'd work in our lives, guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand with me, please? With every head bowed and every eye closed, Jesus Christ is the door. Would you come and go through that door this morning? Would you come? If the Lord has spoken to you, we invite you to come. Maybe you need to come and pray, we invite you to come. Christian, how about you? Are you going in and out and finding green pasture? Would you come this morning if the Lord has spoken to you? Maybe there's a burden on your heart. We invite you to come. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come. Would you come?
Fountain as wide as the sea, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we thank thee, Lord, that you are the door. And Lord, that you are the only door. And Lord, you're a door that we can trust. Father, I ask and pray that you would just deal with people's hearts today. And Lord, help us to run to the door for salvation. Help us, Lord, to run to the door for safety. Lord, I'm thankful that you're our Savior. And Lord, that you're my Savior. And Lord, that I can rest confidently in the hollow of thy hand, realizing, Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. I pray, Lord, now that you dismiss us from this place, but Lord, now from thy presence, lead us and guide us, bring us back again tonight that we might learn more about thee and thy blessed book. We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.